The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, April 22nd, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And man, it feels good to be back in the studio after what has been a wild weekend across the sports world. We're going to talk all about it here on the show today. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me, back in the studio, we're together once again, his name is Uncle T-Bone, and he's with us in the ESPN studios. Great to see you once again, my friend. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
I had a great weekend. It's awesome to be back in studio. What a beautiful day here on the plains. ESPN 106.7, On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. Give us a call at 334-321-1390. There's a lot to talk about, Jacob. Auburn baseball played again this weekend. We can just move on from that after that statement. And the main story of the day, the soup du jour, Aiden Holloway transferring to Alabama, made it official, I believe, on Friday. And boy, oh boy, the reaction. My phone has been blowing up. He is public enemy number one in Lee County right now.
I mean, we already have people tweeting at me that they're ready for you and us to be just to go in on this. And we will. We absolutely will, because it is the story of the weekend. And it's something that we knew was happening last week, that Aiden Holloway was going to be taking a visit to Alabama on Thursday. And then the news became official this weekend that Aiden Holloway, former Auburn point guard, former five-star McDonald's All-American, one of the highest-rated guards to ever, highest-rated players to ever commit to Auburn basketball in the history of the program. He left after 1 year, after a hot start, a disappointing finish, and really a quiet end to his freshman season. He enters the portal. He takes a visit to Nate Oates in Tuscaloosa in Alabama. And we've talked about how that system could fit him really well. We'll get into some more of that today. And then ultimately, the news came out this weekend, your newest member of the Alabama Crimson Tide is Aiden Holloway. And it's got people all sorts of fired up. Uncle T-Bone, they were fired up last week because Aiden Holloway was taking a visit. He had not even committed there yet, and people are already upset about it. And even non-Auburn people were like, wow, this is kind of crazy. Look at where college athletics has gone. What in the world is happening? And it's funny because Alabama fans have completely changed their narrative about this guy. He's the next coming of God now that he's wearing the crimson and white. So many things to break down here, but I want to get our initial reactions out here about this. We'll take phone calls coming up in just a little bit. Aiden Holloway, the newest member of Alabama basketball.
Well, I said it last week. I really don't know who's giving this kid advice, and I really don't care, other than I think they've given this kid some terrible advice to just completely burn the bridge once and for all with a former organization that really did its best to try and prop him up and take the best care of him that they possibly could. And some of these comments that he's had, all right, let's just put it to you like this. It stunk that he was transferring. I get it. Was he asked to leave? Was he processed the Nick Saban way, told to find another place? I don't know. I'm sure that'll all come out eventually. Bad enough he's going to an SEC school, right? Okay, well, we've done that with Katie Johnson to Auburn. You can kind of tolerate it. I mean, Alan Flanagan went over to Ole Miss, and I thought Auburn fans treated him pretty well when he came back. The guy played here a few years and gotten terribly injured with an Achilles tear and rebounded from it. You know, he wasn't a fan favorite in some ways, a lot of fan favorite, but, you know, he was one of us. Treated with respect when he came back.
The opinion of him went down the longer he was here, I'd say.
No question about it. And then, well, not only are we going to go to SEC school, we're going to go across the state to Alabama. Hold on now. And, you know, I think everyone was a little fired up about that, but probably could have digested it a little bit better had Aiden not come out with comments like this on his way out the door. Quote, at Auburn, I kind of got sold a dream by my coach, Holloway said. The season started out good for me individually and as a team, and then he kind of went in a different direction with the offense. What do you think about that, Jacob?
Sounds like to me that, and this has been a very popular take, and I don't know who the first person to say it, but they were absolutely right. Sounds like the young man was recruited to play basketball for a school, for a program, for a system, for a coach, right? That's what happened here, was Aiden Holloway was recruited to play college basketball at Auburn. He was sold on what his role would be. He was sold to be a starting point guard. He was going to have the leniency to shoot the basketball because Bruce Pearl lets everybody shoot the basketball. That's something he has let his players do his entire career. And he was going to be the number one guard. He was going to be the guy that ran the show. And yeah, right out of the gate, that's exactly what happened against Baylor. That's what happened. And that was what the potential of this team could have been all season long, was Aiden Holloway is hitting shots left and right. He's hitting floaters. He's hitting layups. He's dishing it out. Auburn looks like a really good team. Now, they couldn't pull it out in the end, but the potential of what we saw against that Baylor team all the way back in the beginning of the year, that's what Aiden Holloway was sold, and that's what Aiden Holloway's talking about. But then, all of a sudden, the best shooter in the game of high school basketball coming out of the rankings, coming into college basketball as a freshman, the best shooter in the country, could not shoot, couldn't hit anything. What's the old time saying? Couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat if he's in the middle of the Atlantic. Couldn't do it. He could not shoot. And it was all in his head because he's got the ability. He's got the skill. Nobody's doubting that. It just all got in his head, and he couldn't get out of his own way. And you hate to see it for the guy. You really do, because of how talented he is. And so, yeah, you better believe the offense went a different way when you were now a detriment to the team, when you were not benefiting the team, when you were actually hurting the team.
That's right.
When you were on the floor, offensively and defensively, Uncle T-Bone. That's why the offense went a different direction. And so, yeah, you know how you fix that? You get better. You overcome it. And you become what you were supposed to be here. And so he started playing other guys. He started playing somebody that actually contributed. Somebody who is now playing Power 5 basketball somewhere else and is going to be a starting point guard come November. That's what he was doing. And so to call out Bruce Pearl and the coaching staff because they changed their game plan because you couldn't deliver, how dare you?
This is a team that went 27-8 last year, won an SEC tournament championship, obviously had some issues in the NCAA tournament, a lot of it to do with Aiden Holloway, a team that went 27-8 and was your tournament SEC champion. And he's questioning why they went in a different direction? It's because of you, pal. We had to. We had to overcome you as a team. And instead of taking a look in the mirror after going 0 points, 0 assists, and 1 rebound against Yale. I mean, you tell me if he couldn't have scored 3 points, we don't win that game. You can't score 3 points. You can't make a layup to tie the game. And then to come back with comments like this also, quote, back to basketball and having fun for Aiden Holloway. Just watching how they mirror the NBA style. Time to get work and get rolling. What, not playing defense? Having poor fundamentals? I mean, this kid has absolutely taken both his middle fingers and guns upped it, not just to Auburn, but to Bruce Pearl personally. And do we all really need to ask the question which one has proven more in their career, Bruce Pearl, Aiden Holloway. I mean, there's a picture of him on Brett Greenberg's Twitter page where he's holding, he's in an Alabama jersey, since he's going there, I guess, sitting in a red chair holding up the West Regional Championship trophy from the NCAA tournament.
I saw this.
You're going to hold a trophy up, you little punk, when you couldn't score a point against Yale? Good riddance.
Here's the thing that is really getting me, because we talked about this last week, and the fact that Auburn fans really, really supported this guy. And they did. And Auburn fans support any guy that plays
here. I mean,
we
were pretty tough on him after the NCAA tournament. I'll say that.
I'm saying coming in.
But let me say this. He deserved all the criticism he got after the Yale game. And if that's the reason he left, because Auburn fans were tough on him, then he was too soft to be here to begin with. And just wait. Just wait, buddy, because if you ever thought Auburn fans were tough, this is a fan base that was calling into radio shows here locally saying that Nick Saban, the greatest of all time in college football coaching, should have been fired after the Texas loss.
Yeah. And, again, here's what I'll say about this, too, is Aiden Holloway coming in was very supported, very hyped up. I have mentioned this time and time again. The expectations for Aiden Holloway were some of the highest we've ever seen for an Auburn basketball player coming in, for a high school recruit coming in to Auburn. He was supposed to be the answer. He was going to be the next great guard, not just at Auburn, in the SEC and in college basketball. And when he came in, and he lit it up in that first game against Baylor, like I mentioned earlier, it was like, okay, here we go. Like, here he has arrived. Aiden Holloway is here. And then it just took a step back and it never came forward, right? It just never got back to that point. But Auburn fans still believed. Auburn fans believed, whether they're on social media, whether they're our listeners, our station listeners, across the state, across the country, Auburn fans believed in Aiden Holloway, and they supported him the entire time. Were they frustrated? Yeah, they were. Were radio show guys like us frustrated? Absolutely. You can go back and listen to any of our shows. We were harder on him than most. But we were hard on him, and fans were frustrated because the potential of what he had and how good that he could be. And Auburn fans gave him chance after chance after chance, time after time after time. And at the end of the day, at the end of the season, when it was a disappointing freshman campaign for Aiden Holloway, if he had decided, I'm going to run it back and give this thing another chance, Auburn fans would have opened their arms and welcomed him.
Oh, yeah.
Massively. And they would have supported him. We would have talked about him. And we would have looked forward to him coming back and playing and what he could bring to the team next season. Instead, he decided to transfer very quietly, and that was it. Okay, fine. See you later. Have a good time.
I think he kind of ghosted everybody after the NCAA tournament.
I think he did,
it
too.
It was not just quiet. It was, I'm out of here, and I've got something up my sleeve to show you.
And so, on that side of it, Auburn fans were already upset because it was like, wow, okay, he just kind of up and out. That's, you know, it is what it is. That's not how Auburn rolls most of the time, but it is what it is. And then he decides to go to an SEC school, and you're thinking, oh, goodness. Not only is it an SEC school, it's Auburn's biggest rival, right, in Alabama. And for this to, I'm not saying it was dirty, I'm not saying it was done wrong, but something doesn't smell a whole lot right here, Uncle T-Bone.
No.
The smell test isn't really passing for me.
Negative.
Right now. And so with that, you've just, like you mentioned, you have completely, you left the program, you bashed your former head coach, and you let him know about it on the way out. Here's the difference, though. Here's the proper way to handle it. Because Aiden Holloway will never get the support of any Auburn fan for the rest of his life. And that's unfortunate, because Auburn fans are some of the best in the country. On the flip side, another guard that transferred, and you can say this about two, but one in real particular, another guard who had a really good career here, was getting better as he went, decided he could be something better somewhere else, said thank you to Auburn. He entered the portal, and now he's going to go be a starting point guard at the University of Michigan in Trey Donaldson. And I don't know a single Auburn fan that is not rooting for Trey Donaldson next season. The support that he has gotten from Auburn folks since he committed to the Wolverines over the weekend has been phenomenal. Auburn fans love Trey Donaldson, and they can't wait to see him play in the maize and blue. And I hope he tears it up in the Big Ten. And that's how it was supposed to be done. That's how you handle situations. Because I guarantee if you sat down Trey Donaldson behind a closed door and off the record, he'd tell you he probably wasn't overly pleased with what happened here because he believes he can be a starter. And so guess what? He went and found somewhere that he could be a starter. And KD Johnson did the same thing. He went to George Mason. Trey Donaldson went to Michigan. But that's how you're supposed to handle it. That's why folks like us and folks like you listening right now, that's why you're fired up. That's why they're all upset. It's because there's a proper way to handle it. And this is, man, this is the nasty side of the transfer portal. This is where people really get emotional here, and understandably so. I'm not saying anybody's wrong by being upset about this. And what's crazy is this is not even the first time. Somebody doubled down on it this weekend. There's a Michigan guard that just transferred, or is it Ohio State guard that transferred to Michigan? One of the two, I can't remember. A Michigan guard just went to Ohio State or vice versa. So, I mean, it's not, this isn't the first time, and it won't be the last. It just seems a little wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be ugly. And look, first of all, about expectation with Aiden Holloway, I don't think fans' expectations were anywhere near out of whack with him coming in. There are a lot of media folks that sold a lot of clicks, pumping him up locally to all of us saying how great he was going to be. I mean, Bruce Pearl and them were thrilled to have him. Their comments were nothing but glowing. So fans can be fans, but the expectation, I think, was very warranted for him. He's, you know, the number three guard in the country and one of the best shooting guards in the history of high school. And he's a five-star, and he's a can't-miss prospect. You know, sign up for a subscription here. You got it. I want to read all about it. So don't pump me up and tell me how great he is and then even say anything about fans having unrealistic expectations, because you're about to find out what kind of fans have unrealistic expectations, buddy.
Yeah, you are. Also, it was an Ohio State guard, Roddy Gale Jr., committed to Michigan today. So, there you go.
This is an instance, too, that's kind of baffling to me. He almost seems like, his move, I guess, in his mind is, I'll show Auburn. It almost like Auburn had processed this kid. I don't know that for a fact. Since when did Alabama start taking Auburn sloppy seconds in anything? And I'm going to tell you what, man. I don't think Auburn fans should have any mercy with this kid when he comes to Neville. None. And I know that Auburn fans, we've taken the high road several times, and we believe in the competitive spirit and the creed and everything, and that's what makes this place a special place. But in this instance, it's time to start busting those plows into spears. We're at war now, man, and you're about to find out. You about to find out how tough Auburn can be on somebody, and you about to find out Aiden Holloway, what it's like coming into a very, very, probably the most hostile environment he'll ever come into, and he deserves it. He burned that bridge. He threw those rocks. Guess what, buddy? There's a boatload of bags of rocks waiting to come back your way.
Big news from over the weekend. Aiden Holloway leads Auburn, commits to Alabama basketball. We'd love to get your thoughts and reactions on it as we'll open up the phone lines. 334-321-1390. We'll listen to you. We'll have best and worst from the weekend, plus two big defensive line commits for Auburn football. One was over the weekend. One just happened. That's all coming up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, off and running with a hot start here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390, on anything you'd like to talk about. We've begun with the biggest news from over the weekend in terms of Auburn is the Aiden Holloway news, as he is no longer a Tiger, of course, and he is now a member of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And so lots of feelings, lots of emotions on that. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. And we're going to get into some big football news coming up in the next segment at about 6 minutes or so. But Uncle T-Bone, I want to bring back a segment that we used to do, and would love to bring this back here on Mondays. Best and worst from the weekend. It's a busy weekend in sports. You've got the golf world. You've got Scottie Scheffler doing his thing, who it just continues to prove why he's the best in the world. You have NBA, NHL playoffs are underway. All sorts of transfer portal things going on. I mean, you name it, and something's happening. Baseball, and that may be the worst thing, is if you want to talk about that for a second. Best and worst from the weekend for you in the sports world, Uncle T-Bone. Do you got anything?
Yeah, no question. Scottie Scheffler going back-to-back, winning at Harbor Town. He's incredible. Easily the number one player in golf. I mean, that's just Captain Obvious. Thanks. But
his tear right now is just unbelievable.
It's historic.
Yeah.
And
you know what it is? It's Tiger-esque. It really is.
It could keep going, but apparently his wife's about to have a baby, so he's going to take a little time off.
Supposedly,
she's like 2 weeks overdue, I think. But I mean, you know, just think if he could keep going. He's almost unbeatable right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a bold statement in the world of golf.
Well, it's crazy because so many people, after winning a major, especially the Masters, right? The Masters, there's such a hangover after winning a major golf tournament, one of the four in the season. And Scottie Scheffler, and a lot of people don't even play the week after a major. And Scottie said,
especially if they win.
Yeah, they said, shoot, I'm the hottest golfer in the world. I'll go win me a second jacket. And that's exactly what he did. What you got, intern Alan?
That is his fourth win in the last five tournaments.
God.
For the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler. And remember, the week before the Masters, he missed a six-footer at the Texas Open to force a playoff.
That's right.
So he's a six-footer away from potentially winning five tournaments in a row. We haven't seen numbers like that since Tiger Woods.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Do it, intern Alan. I love it. Worst of the week.
Oh, gosh.
Auburn baseball.
I'll double down on that.
You're done. You couldn't win one game over in Starkville. I mean, Mississippi State's terrible this year. Not anymore, I guess.
Well, they found their way to bounce back. And that's the problem right now, man, is Auburn baseball, the snowball has become just it's become a boulder, really, is what it has. And Butch Thompson and the Tigers just – It just doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. I mean, this is, historically, this is going down as one of the worst SEC seasons for Auburn baseball in history, like in a long, long time. I mean, they can't get a win. And Uncle T-Bone, this is a team that has a win over the number one team in the country at the time, the Arkansas Razorbacks. One of their two SEC wins is over the number one team in the country. And they get swept again, and it doesn't get any easier. They go back on the road this weekend to LSU, who's nothing crazy, nothing to write home about, but they're still a good team. They got a series win this weekend, and you're back on the road in Baton Rouge if you're Auburn baseball. So I'm with you on that. I'll jump on that train. That's definitely the worst thing I saw this
weekend.
They'll
be traveling to LSU to take on NSEC play, 5-13 LSU, who's number six, just ahead of the Auburn Tigers by three games in the SEC West, the last season of divisions in the SEC. Love some Butch Thompson. Very tough year. Probably time to just move it on along, and let's start building for next year and beyond. But I've been saying it for years, Jacob, and I'm going to keep saying it until they prove me wrong. Until they go out there and get them about four or five big pulpwooden country boys from Sarah Land and Prattville and Millbrook and Gadsden and Phoenix City.
There you go.
Who are about 6'3", 280 and can just pound the baseball up in the air, knock it out of the park. Until they go big, they're going to continue to go home, in my opinion. Baseball, watching Tennessee in person, and I'm becoming more and more of a I've got to see it to believe it type guy. I'm not buying the hype anymore of anybody telling me anything about anybody, especially after this Aiden Holloway disaster. Okay? And I've seen the hype. I've seen Cam Coleman. I believe it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I saw Tennessee, and they were massive. They were way bigger than Auburn and way more powerful, and they pushed the Tigers around Plainsman Park.
I'll tell you the best thing I saw this weekend, and it's carried over into today, is Hugh Freeze and Auburn in the transfer portal beefing up that defensive line, talking about getting some dudes. That's what Hugh Freeze is doing right now. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. We're talking Auburn football in the transfer portal when we come back.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Uncle Tebow, and I'm Jacob Goetz. We're going to get into Auburn football transfer portal. I almost said recruiting. I guess it's kind of like recruiting, right? Transfer portal recruiting. We'll get into that coming up in just a second. But let's get to the phone lines. Would love to hear from you on this Monday afternoon. 334-321-1390. And we go to John in Auburn. You're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, so I think I was wrong on something. I was looking at stats, and I think I'm wrong, and I'll explain my thought process.
I don't think I've ever heard you be wrong, John.
Oh, wow. Well, you only know me from a radio show. Well done. No, so on in my opinion on the Aiden Holloway thing is that he's a high-volume three-point shooter that if he gets a lot of three-point shots off in Alabama with a more free-flowing offense, I think he could establish more confidence and be a better player. That was my opinion until I started looking at stats this year. May I lay it on you?
Go for it.
So Mark Sears was, in my opinion, Alabama's best offensive weapon. Mark Sears shot 218 threes in their 37-game season. It's about 5.8 threes a game. Okay?
Okay.
So we have Sears at 5.8 threes a game for the year. Aiden Holloway for Auburn was our leading three-point attempter. He shot up. He shot up 100. Where's it at? Give me 2 seconds. He shot up 172 threes, which is 4.9 a game.
So we'll say 6 and 5 to make it easy on Uncle Tebow.
Sure. So the difference between Sears and Holloway is one attempted 3-point shot a game. How does are they going to let Aiden jack it up 8 times a game in Alabama?
They very well might.
Where is he going to see this offensive difference?
Well, you know, if he's running point, he's not going to jack up that many, I don't think. And I don't know if they're going to even have him running point, which kind of which also to me kind of questions the motives of going to Alabama when if he wasn't going to run, if he's not going to run point there and Auburn has a hotshot new freshman coming in that can run point, plus the guy from Furman, plus the transfer from Furman, Pegues, plus Denver Jones that can run point. Why didn't he just stay here and be the shooting guard that the spins now the spinsters out there are now saying, well, he's going to go there and be a 2 and get a bunch of shots off at Alabama. He could have got the shots off here too.
I mean, I expect Sears to come back. Do you? I mean, how many minutes is he going to get at the 1?
You don't expect Sears to come back? I do.
No, I do not.
No, I expect him to come back.
I think his stock will never be higher.
I mean, Aiden Holloway, in my opinion, I don't see how he's projecting himself. He's a small NBA point guard. I mean,
And that's the problem. The problem is I mean, I said this the other day. Look at point guards in the NBA, man. I mean, if you're not 6'3", then you're undersized nowadays in the NBA, which is a wild thing to say, 6'2" at the minimum. And Aiden Holloway's 5'11" with the hair. I mean, it's just in sneakers. Like, it's just not – he's small, and that's what has plagued so many Auburn point guards in the past.
Exactly. Hey, I had one more point on this. I'd like to see Bruce Pearl become a little more demonstrative with Alabama. And I'll switch sports with you real quick. I don't remember Saban beat us a ton. I don't remember Saban being as personal as Nate Oates is getting here. I mean, and I'll give you a perfect example. Do you remember the game in Coleman Coliseum this year where the lights go out at the beginning of the game, ESPN shows Bruce and shows Nate Oates, and they're laughing, ha-ha, and back and forth. You know, man, that should have been an administrative technical on Alabama for a delay of game. And what happens? We lose by 1 or 2 points.
There you go. That's just something. That's a knuckle T-bone conversation.
Well, I'm
going to
tell you right now, John, I agree with you. This is advice for anybody listening in the Auburn family. Don't think for a second that just having some high road competitive spirit is going to compete against Alabama. They don't believe in the competitive spirit. They don't believe in competition. They don't believe Auburn athletics should even exist. They don't want the university here to exist. And you can go back in history into Goat Hill and hundreds of years, right, where they, well, 100 years at least, where they've tried to do everything they can to shut down the funding to Auburn University. They don't want us here. They don't like any kind of competition. We're a thorn in their paw. We're a stone in their sandal, and they don't even want us to exist. So you better start fighting back, because they're sure fighting back against. They are constantly fighting against us, and this is another example of it.
Couldn't agree with you more, Uncle T. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. And he brings up an interesting point. And yes, this is a very Auburn conversation, but it's one that has been brought up numerous times on this show more than anywhere else. And I think we pride ourselves on that. It's you especially, Uncle T-Bone, where think about what John just said. Right. Think about what John just said right there. He said that he doesn't remember Nick Saban ever being personable with Auburn. If he was asked about Auburn, he would say a few things, show the PR respect, and move on. Right? And that was pretty much it. And then his comparison of Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates, chalking it up during a light delay inside of Coleman Coliseum, which is something that I still don't think Auburn raised enough you-know-what about. I mean,
right.
Auburn should have gone in on that. I mean, Bruce Pearl should have been livid, borderline being kicked out of the game before it even got started because of the lights not working. Because you already know that if the roles were reversed and if Nate Oates and Alabama had walked inside of Neville Arena and the lights didn't work because you couldn't afford to operate them properly, he would have lost his mind because he was going to bat for his guys, his team, and the logo that he wears on his shirt. That's what you're supposed to do. And I'm not saying that Bruce Pearl doesn't do that. I'm not saying that other coaches at Auburn don't do that. But I get where John's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take just some small segment of camera work from ESPN showing two coaches who exchanging some pleasantries of that necessarily Bruce Pearl isn't fighting back. I just think as a whole, Auburn folks need to wake up to the fact that these people are looking to bury us any chance that they get, 24/7, 365. And if we don't get a little bit more into this street fight, you know, these bullies are going to push us around and push us out of this state. Or theoretically, as much as they can, once and for all, in every sport and in everything. And you know, the only way to deal with a bully is to pop them back harder than you can than they've ever imagined, and then keep popping them back and keeping them away from you. And Auburn's got to worry about doing what Auburn does best and being Auburn. And it's not some type of paranoia thing where you got to, you know, Alabama's not constantly the problem of everything Auburn, but they are a massive issue, and this is just another example of it. And I'm not saying what Nate Oates has done is dirty here, but if I was Bruce Pearl, I'd be furious about it, and I'd be looking to go sign Ryland Griffin just to shove it back in their face.
Okay. All right. Well, John, we appreciate the call, man. 334-321-1390. I do want to get to the football side of things because we got some big news on Auburn football, especially, primarily, particularly on the defensive line. Auburn went and got two guys this weekend, one over the weekend, and one literally within the last 20 minutes has happened that Auburn football went and got two massive additions to the defensive line. We'll start with the one from over the weekend, and It is an Indiana commit, former defensive line at Indiana, Philip Bleedy, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He is coming to Auburn as a massive addition to the defensive line. He is somebody that is a large human being, somebody that will come in and pretty much start. I don't know if he'll start immediately, but he's going to be a...
Oh, he's going to play a bunch.
He's going to play a lot.
And they needed some help on that defensive line, specifically on the interior, no doubt about it.
And he was a hot commodity in the transfer portal. LSU, Washington, Oklahoma, and Missouri were all after him. And I want folks to be a little open-minded with this, because you start looking at his stats and... I mean, you're looking at a defensive tackle stats. I mean, you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt anyway, but they're not going to just blow you off the page. They're not going to blow you away, right? But you start looking at some of his film and looking at what he's good at. He's extremely good with his hands. He's quick off the end, and he gets home, and he's experienced. He's played college football for quite some time at the Power 5 level. Yes, it was at Indiana. Yes, it was in the Big Ten, but he's going to be an immediate impact player. I use that term all the time. Instant impact player. That's exactly what this guy is coming from Indiana. Huge get for Hugh Freeze and the Tigers.
Yeah, 6'3", 295, saying he's huge is an understatement. We need some size in that interior line to join him. The second transfer that committed today, another massive get for both psychologically and physically, Isaiah Rakes, 6'2", 320 nose guard, defensive lineman, whatever you want to call him, really going to beef up the depth on that line. And golly, Auburn for years has needed some size to combat these massive offensive lines from Alabama, Georgia, and LSU that they have to go up against perennially.
I mean, he was one of the best players at A&M. He was a former A&M player, former USC guy. Defensive lineman Isaiah Rakes, again, this just came out about 20 minutes ago that he is committed to play for Auburn. Bleedy signed already, and Rakes will be signed, I'm sure, pretty quickly here. And talk about another guy that's coming in on the defensive line that could start, but will play a ton of minutes and a ton of snaps regardless. And that's exactly what Hugh Freeze and this team needed. You're exactly right, Uncle T-Bone. It was time for Auburn to go find some size. Because,
well, these are the kind of guys that – occasionally, I mean, they're so big, they can warrant double teams. They can free up some other playmakers on the defense to come through and shoot through on a blitz or get loose on the defensive end side of the ball. You're not just going to line up and pound on Auburn constantly like teams have done, like Penn State did to us, good grief, a few years ago with this type of size. And it'll help also with their experience bringing along this younger class that just signed with Auburn, the Malik Blocktons of the world, that are going to play and have to play and are physically, you know, almost ready to play in the SEC, but, you know, they haven't even lined up and played one game at Auburn University. So this kind of experience is going to be invaluable in the depth as well.
Vontrell King-Williams is Auburn's defensive line coach, and he has put in the work, let me tell you what. He is going after guys, getting depth, and getting instant impact.
Yeah, that's
players.
The guy that a lot of the guys on the defensive line that were here wanted to get that job after Jeremy Garrett left, and they were real happy about him being here. So he's a young, up-and-coming defensive line coach that's very well thought of by the players over there. That's a good sign.
Yeah, and the good thing about Bleedy is he could move over to nose if you needed him to. I mean, he's got the size. He's also just got the speed and the hands. I mean, that's what I noticed when watching some of his film over the weekend was he can just get to the quarterback, get to the running back, and look, he's so big in a good way that he just stops things. He just halts what the offense.
Space,
yeah,
man.
That's exactly right.
Do you think Auburn's done with that defensive line on transfers?
Well, with the commitment of Rakes today, that's a big one too. That's a big commitment. I mean, I don't think they're going to turn
Jack
it.
Also, like, you know, that hybrid defensive end, pass rush linebacker guy.
No, I don't think Auburn's done.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't either. I mean, because Auburn's going after something they haven't had in a long time is depth, which is so crazy to talk about, but we've mentioned it with so many positions, linebacker, offensive line, defensive line, safeties, corners. I mean, Auburn's going after depth, and they're not just going after whoever wants to come play, whoever's willing to come play. They're going after big name guys. They're going after dudes that are difference makers in the SEC. That's what Bleedy is. That's what Rakes is. as well. And Auburn has brought both of them here. One is signed, the other will sign. He's already committed. You're bringing in guys that have played, you know, Power 5 football.
These are a little bit, and I'm not trying to pump here because I refuse to buy into any more hype after last year when all these people came in the transfer portal and I thought we were back, baby. We got Hollywood hooks. We're back, Jacob. And that was just not the case. But I will say this. These are a little bit higher, sought-after quality type transfers. Looking back last season, Auburn had to just fill roster spots. They had to have numbers. These are folks that the likes of Oklahoma and LSU want. That's a good sign for these transfer guys and what they can bring into Auburn. So, and you got to look at those two key hires in the offseason. I know a lot of people were upset that Trevon Reed left and went to Central Florida. He's an Auburn man, Jacob Trevon. How are we going to carry on without him? Well, that's why we got Will Redmond from LSU and Kenyatta Watson from Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. With Rakes, he was one of the go-to guys for Texas A&M on the defensive line. Didn't start, but he was brought in as the one or two and just made so many impactful plays. He then transferred, if you remember, he transferred to USC, and Auburn was in the running for that and didn't get picked, but ultimately ends up back here, or ends up coming here to the Plains. He commits today. So two big-time defensive line commits for Auburn and Hugh Freeze and this entire coaching staff. Huge additions, impact players, and big boys up front. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. Come back and wrap it up. We'll get to the phone lines as well after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one, let's do it by getting to the phone lines. 334-321-1390, live from Highway 14. It's Lonnie and Lochipoca. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today?
We're doing good. It's a beautiful day on the plains.
Yeah, it's very nice outside. Very nice. Do y'all know what it's called when you lose to New Mexico State in football, you lose to Maryland in the bowl game, you lose to Bama on a 4th-and-31, you win the SEC championship in basketball, but you go out in the first round to Yale, you're last in the SEC in baseball, and your five-star point guard goes to Bama? Y'all know what that's called?
I think you may be able to spell it for me. I think it starts with a J, and it ends with an A, and it's got about four letters in it.
I mean, I'm kind of kidding, but let me say this about the main reason I called in was to talk about Holloway. This kid has now put himself right up there with James Judas Willis,
fact,
and Eric Ramsey as the three most hated people to ever come through Auburn, in my opinion.
Never welcome back. Goodbye. Nope. And good riddance.
Nope. And I'm not going to be one of these people that are like, I wish the kid well. I hope he does good. You know what? I hope he goes up there and lays a big fat egg. And
like he did against Yale.
Right. I mean, the thing is it's funny how now – all the Bammers who talked about how crappy of a player he was season long.
How soft
now
he was.
Now they just love him, and Bruce Pearl was a terrible coach. And I'll tell you what else speaks volumes more than anything is the fact that on his way out the door, he couldn't say, thank you to Bruce Pearl, thank you to Auburn, I'm going a different direction. That's
right.
Not what he did.
No.
He talked about that it was Bruce's fault and Auburn's fault that our offense was going one direction and then halfway through the season it went another direction. The reason that happened, buddy, is because you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and we expected you to play a lot better. And so, yeah, our offense went in a different direction away from you. And he was given single opportunity. I didn't understand why he was starting over Trey Donaldson so much to begin with, and I was actually critical about that because I didn't think he needed to be starting. Turns out that was correct.
And guess what? It ran Trey Donaldson off to Michigan.
Exactly. So I hope he enjoys his time in Turd Town But now, I would rank them like this. Eric Ramsey, one. Aiden Holloway, you're two, buddy.
Wow.
And James Willis, you're three on most hated people to ever come through Auburn. Goodbye and good riddance.
Appreciate it. Lonnie, that's how you do it right there, folks. 334-321-1390. And you know what's really sickening about this is how much a living a lot of these Alabama media folks are going to make off of this story and how we're going to have to endure it and listen to it.
It's going
to
be Auburn media folks, everybody.
From the new Kevin Skarbinski article at AL.com, an opinion column, Alabama-Auburn hoops rivalry hotter than ever after Aiden Holloway jumps to Tuscaloosa. I mean, whatever, man.
I mean, come on, guy. I get it. I get it.
Just
but they are
milking the story, fake news, hotter than ever. Just you want to see hot? Just wait till this. It's going to be like, who was that kid? That Marshall kid from Ole Miss. What was his name a few years back? Maybe 6-7 years ago.
Marshall Henderson.
Thank you very much, intern Alan. Marshall Henderson. And there's that famous meme of that older gentleman for Auburn getting up, basically ready to throw down with him right there on the sidelines. Yeah. Just wait what's coming when you come to Neville Arena, buddy. It's going to be one of the ugliest scenes that you've ever had to endure. Aiden Holloway, in my opinion, you are public enemy number one in Lee County.
Man, spoken like a true Auburn fan right there. And I think you're not alone. I don't think you and Lonnie are alone. We'll talk a lot more about this coming up in hour number two. Some more football things to get to. And Dak, you'll be first up when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. And if you missed any of hour number one, it was heated. We were fired up in here. You know we were. We always bring it on a Monday afternoon, and we appreciate you being along with us. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch it with the podcast. You can find it at ESPNAU.com, or you can just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Talked a lot about the Aiden Holloway news, which I'm sure we'll get into some more here in hour number two. I'd like to talk about some of the outside media perspective and, shoot, even the inside media perspective as well, when you think about it, about what this is happening and what they're saying about this whole situation. Plus, we talked about some big-time Auburn football news. Big boys now coming on the defensive line. We'll get to some more of that here in hour number two. And it's Monday, which means Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network will join us. We'll get updates on everything going on around Auburn athletics. Until then, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We begin hour number two with Dak. You're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I hope I'm not asking the same questions over that somebody's already asked. I just now got in my car.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Holloway situation. I wonder what Oates sees in him that Coach Pearl didn't see in him.
I think he sees the exact same thing he saw that Bruce Pearl saw in him. I think he just believes he can get it out of him, unlike... And I'm not going to say Bruce didn't get it out of him, but it didn't show at Auburn. And so I think Nate Oates sees the exact same thing. He just believes that he can get it out and get that McDonald's All-American high-level three-point shooter to display there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next point, is that in a year or two, we'll find out which one can coach him, can't we?
Yeah, and if either one of them could recruit at a high level, not that Aiden Holloway wasn't a high-level recruit, but you know this, Dak, they don't always pan out. And so
Absolutely.
So that's going to be a question that's answered too, because if nobody's talking about this. If he does go to Alabama and has a terrible year and it's the same old, he'll transfer again and be his 17th school in 17 years. And so
which one are you going to bet on, Dak, that he goes off or he's transferring again after next season?
I say he'll be transferring again.
That's probably more likely. I'm afraid that it won't, but I would say that's more likely. But I have a gut feeling that he just ends up going off somewhere. But you never know.
Well, Dak, I mean, you watch them this year. You watched Auburn play. You saw what they did when they went up to Tuscaloosa and then over to Mississippi State, and how more physical guards playing defense pushed Aiden Holloway out beyond the arc, and he would just dribble around because he didn't have the physicality to get to the rim like Mark Sears. So you're telling me that all of a sudden this next year, the light's going to switch and he's going to be at the rim, attacking the rim and kicking out like Mark Sears and dropping threes like Mark Sears? I don't think so, buddy. I think there's enough film on this guy that teams know we're going to put somebody really physically on him, just like not Alabama did, but Yale did, right, in the NCAA tournament, and we're going to make him a non-factor.
That's right. You know, when you're a consistent top 25 team, you have point guards and guards that either can shoot the daylights out of it or they drive and score and kick it out. Well, he didn't either.
Yeah, which is a major problem.
You have to be able to do that,
You're absolutely right. So,
let's switch to football a little bit.
Go for it.
I'm very, very glad that we got the guy from Indiana, because Lord knows we need some more beef up there on the defensive line. Do y'all know if there's anybody else this week? Because I'm kind of hearing some things that we have two more possibilities.
Yeah, I think there's more coming down the pipe, Dak. I really do. I think the two that Auburn added this weekend and today are huge, with Bleedy and Rakes, and I do think there's more coming in terms of specifics. I think there's more than – I think there's numerous on the hook, or maybe some bobbers in the water, if you will, and I think there's more coming. But until there's a little bit more clarity, I don't know if I want to shout,
Dak,
it out.
At the end of last week, Auburn did have a big-time wide receiver in from Penn State, Keandre Lambert Smith, who is looking to transfer either to Auburn, possibly Texas A&M, Colorado, I believe USC's in the mix. I've heard that Oklahoma might be in the mix. They're definitely going to keep working that portal to try and beef up the roster, not just on the defensive line, but at wide receiver also. And Hugh Freeze had said so. Even though Perry Thompson's coming in, they got to get some more depth. Auburn lost Jay Fair, a four-star from Texas a few years ago, to the transfer portal, but you know he didn't really do a whole lot here. I think it just matters also how much more NIL money Auburn has to spend. People have to realize that there's only so many dollars to go around, and just because Keandre Lambert Smith doesn't go to Auburn, say goes to Texas A&M, it may be as simple. It's not because he didn't like it here, or Hugh Freeze didn't do a good job recruiting him, or he didn't have a great relationship with Marcus Davis. It's because he was asking for X amount of dollars that Auburn's just unwilling to pay because they don't have them.
Right, absolutely. I get that. Well, another question I have for you, and this is really a question that I can't wait to either ask Jason Caldwell or Brian, but I have a son that's in the eighth grade going into ninth grade, and hopefully he'll be a recruit, but I don't know that. But in trying to sign him up for an Auburn football camp, I find out that they no longer have the three-day football camps that, you know, has always been a traditional football camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that they only have 2 one-day camps, and it's basically you sign up, come in, and then you start to camp at 2 o'clock, and it's over at 4:30. And so my thing is, if you're not, you know, kids in the state of Alabama and kids in the state of Georgia, I think those camps are important. And I hope that today's, you know, transfer portal and the days of the way it is, I hope it's not diminishing high school football and what it means to the kids of Alabama and the kids of, because I just can't believe they will have the football. used to. And then I find out we didn't have the coaching clinic at Auburn this time.
Yeah.
So that's two questions that I really want to know why. Because Alabama, you know, that coaching clinic is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
We don't ever want Alabama to do things that we're not doing. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right about that. That was a big thing during the Harsin era, right? When coaches were going up to Alabama for the coaching clinic, and there were coaches in the state that had no idea who Auburn or Brian Harsin was. So it's a good question, Dak, and I have something I want to say on that. And we appreciate you calling in, man. Always great to hear from Dak in Columbus, 334-321-1390. I'll speak to that for a second. And I'm not a...
We need to have Dak in studio one day.
Heck yeah.
Closer to football season.
Dak's a football guy, man. He's been around the game a long time. And
he knows what's what.
And look, I'm not a recruiting guy. I'm not in that world. I'm a radio guy. But
hey, I'm just some hack fan that y'all let come in on the air. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, somehow you found your way in the studio and just keep coming back. And nobody
locks
the door.
Good luck getting me out of here,
yeah,
Alan.
I'm telling you, according to Alan, Dak knows ball. I agree with that. But here's what I'll say on those coaching clinics and the camps and all of that. I think a lot of that is taking a backseat right now because of how much you have to work in recruiting and in the transfer portal if you're a head coach and a coaching staff. I mean, it's a 365-day-a-year job on top of, I don't know, doing this crazy thing called coaching your team. I mean, isn't that wild that you have to sometimes take a backseat to that? And I'm not throwing shade, but we've seen that already here in Auburn where – they have had to go out and recruit and hit the portal and try to bring in so much talent so fast just to keep up with what everybody else around the SEC and college football is doing. And not that high school recruiting is not important and not that they're not going after it, but they're having to take a different approach to it nowadays because it's not just who can recruit the most five stars in high school. It's, okay, we're going to throw our biggest number out there to go get them, but we've also got to hit the portal and make sure our own roster doesn't go anywhere.
Jacob, here's a story that I was told before I started coming on air with you last year, before football season, that, and this was around May-ish, that I was told, you know, this is a rumor, okay, but it's just one of those stories, and the person who told me I think would know that the coaching clinic that Dak was talking about, that Brian Harsin had one summer, nine Alabama high school coaches showed up to.
Yeah.
Nine. And, for example, that when Tommy Tuberville and their staff were here, they'd have 200 to 300 coaches show up for it. Nine, they weren't out there making the relationships. That's the most important thing that you can do in high school recruiting is make the relationships with the high school coaches. Nick Saban was relentless in going out and meeting high school coaches and welcoming them into Tuscaloosa for anything, serving them steak dinners on visits to the stadium, making sure they had tickets, making sure they were taken care of. What that takes, though, in today's world, I think that's so much different than in yesterday's college football world is the amount of staff. And that's how Auburn's going to be able to continue to compete by continuing to go out and get the Will Redmonds and Kenyatta Watsons of the world, the up-and-coming young guys who knows what it takes to not only relate and build relationship in college football but have the contacts to do it. And, you know, an 8, 9, 10, I don't know how many people are on a college football coaching staff, okay? 11, 8, 9, I don't know how many coaches that is. They can't do it all anymore. You've got to have this massive substructure behind you of staff and personnel supporting you to look over everything from the portal to the high school coaches' relationships to the camps, you name it. And it's a huge, huge business. You want to know how you can help, Auburn fan? Keep buying tickets and keep, you know, giving money to NIL. You know, keep supporting Hugh Freeze and that staff because Brian Harsin didn't warrant the support, but you can see what can happen to a program when they don't have it.
I'll jump on that too with that story because I don't think you're misinformed on that by any means. It doesn't help when Alabama saw blood in the water. They saw a limping gazelle, and they just jumped on top of it from behind, and they scheduled all their same days, their coaching clinics, their camps. Right. They would schedule all of that on the same day, and they'd make the kids and the coaches and the parents choose, where are you going to go?
It's
where are you going to visit?
Like, rival country clubs scheduling their member guest on the same weekend.
That's
We're going to see who's going to play where.
And guess what? That's how it rolls.
Hey, that's relentless competition that I'm talking about with these Alabama people, especially when they smell blood. They're going to go in for the kill.
That's what you're supposed to do.
It's hard enough for Auburn to compete in that environment and then go up against the Georgias, the LSUs, now Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin, you know, the Clemsons of the world, and now you're adding Texas and Oklahoma to it. So, I mean, it's a difficult job at Auburn to begin with, and it takes a very special person to lead Auburn against those type of powerhouse programs in football, and it's got to be supported. If it's not supported with the proper personnel, there's only so many hours in the day.
And if you're Auburn right now, you have to look across the state. And in football in particular is where we're going with
there's
this.
There's an opening.
That's exactly right. It's what Dak brought up. The Gazelle doesn't have a broken leg yet. It's not wounded, but it fell down. It fell down in an open field, and you're running after it. They've given you a chance. And that's what Auburn has done. That's what Alabama has done with Nick Saban stepping away. With hiring Kalen DeBoer, they could have hired whoever, doesn't matter. That Gazelle has fallen down in the open field. You've got to make some ground up. You've got to take advantage. And guess what? If you got to get, do whatever you got to do to catch up, because you've lost so much ground in the last 15 years. Oof. You've got to make that up somehow. And they're giving you a chance to do that right now.
Well, I'll tell you this. They understand fully what can happen when the right person is not in charge of their football program. It's not like Alabama has just gone from Coach Bear Bryant to Nick Saban and they were dominant forever. There were a lot of lean years in there, and they've got those elephants have a long memory in the state of Alabama. And case in point, that Nick Saban didn't just leave town. He's still over there on TV pumping that program and will continue to be on every ESPN. They are going to support Kalen DeBoer with everything they got to make sure that they don't take a step back. But it just seems like, you know, and DeBoer, I think he's going to be successful. A lot of people are saying, no way, Jose. But it just doesn't seem like it's quite the threat to our, I don't want to say existence, but our or expectation. With Nick Saban over there, it was suffocating for Auburn.
Yeah.
And there were some good years, don't get me wrong, and there were some bright moments, but there's been an awful lot of bad years and mediocrity mixed in there as well, because he basically had his thumb on our program and just about every program in the SEC too, outside of Georgia and LSU occasionally. Auburn is not the exception there. But with DeBoer, it seems like, okay, here's an opportunity for us to make our move.
I think DeBoer could be good. I don't think he'll last. I don't think he'll survive. He could very well be good, but it won't be to the standard of what they want. It won't be to the standard of what they expect. And that's unfortunate for him. I don't feel bad, because I'd take one look at his bank account number and I think it'd be okay. But he has a chance to still be good. It's just not what they want it to be.
There's a new normal over there. And whenever there's a new normal, there's opportunity.
Yeah.
And Auburn needs to take advantage of it. And I think we have the right person to do that, who understands what it takes to be successful in big-time college football in today's world. And it's playmakers. Bottom line, if you don't have the playmakers, I don't care who you are, you're not going to do any damage to anybody.
You've got to go get the guys. You have to go get the dudes to be able to play in the SEC and play SEC football. And I'll take it one step further before we get to break. I think you have somebody leading the athletic department right now that has done some really good things, that has a chance to do some even better things when there is blood in the water, and his name's John Cohen. I think you have a chance to see some really big university changing moments right now. He's done some good things, but there's still more to be done. And I think Auburn fans are asking for that. And when you look at Hugh Freeze, he's done that. He continues to do that. And you've got to take your chances when they present themselves.
That's right.
334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. We'll talk more Aiden Holloway news when we come back. Then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us at the bottom of the hour. That's all coming up next.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, let's jump back into this conversation a little bit. It's been the hot topic around Auburn for the last couple of days. The news breaking over the weekend after he was taking an official visit to Tuscaloosa, Nate Oates in Alabama, former five-star point guard, former McDonald's All-American. I guess he's still technically considered that, but he's in the college game now. Aiden Holloway going and committing to Alabama. And look, Auburn fans were fired up when he set an official visit date to Alabama, when he took the official visit, and then ultimately committed to Alabama. And there's a couple of things that we have yet to hit on this. And phone lines are open for the next few minutes. We got about 7 or 8 minutes if you want to join us here before we get to Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. You mentioned this earlier, Uncle T-Bone. One of the pictures he took at Alabama was with their NCAA tournament Sweet or Elite Eight, Final Four, going to the Final Four trophy. It was the trophy that you get. It looks like the national championship trophy, right? It's got the same look and presentability, but it's for winning their region in the NCAA tournament. He was holding it and took a picture with it, wearing all Alabama gear. Like, tell me where that makes sense, intern Allen. Tell me how that makes any sense.
I will say, in recruiting, to defend some of these kids, not Aiden Holloway, but just in recruiting.
Yeah, he said not Aiden Holloway.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're gonna get that out of the way right now. But no, in recruiting, you do see in these photo shoots and everything with the recruits, they're surrounded by championship trophies. But it's just ironic that you're holding one that was won while you were at another school at the same time.
At your rival, at that school's
rival.
At your rival,
you're wearing a ring that I didn't look into the details of, but he had a ring on as well, and it looked like it had an Alabama logo on it too.
Was it his tournament SEC championship ring?
See, that's what I'm trying to say. See, that's why I'm not totally accusing him of anything.
That's funny.
But it is how interesting would that be? You're in the middle of an Alabama photo shoot with an Auburn championship ring on.
Yeah, he's probably already hawked that thing.
Like I said,
I had something, but I'm gonna keep that one to myself.
Like I said, and I told you guys that during the break, this is like the movie The Dark Knight. The Joker is walking away from the building that is exploding. That building that's exploding is the bridge between Aiden Holloway and the Auburn Tigers. And I'm with you, Uncle T.
Yeah,
get ready for Neville Arena, Aiden Holloway.
I'm gonna tell you what, he didn't just burn a bridge. He got in that old World War II movie, The Bridge Over the River Kwai, and pushed down on that orange and on that dynamite igniter and blew that orange and blue connection in his life into smithereens.
That was for you, Stephen, in Texas, just so you know.
That's right, Stephen in Texas knows what I'm talking about, The Bridge Over the River Kwai. Well, he will never be welcome here again. I'm sure there's a couple of fans, like Lonnie said, that, you know, we just need to take the high road, Uncle T-Bone, be an Auburn man. But no, not today. I've done that enough times in my life, and all that does is get you beat. And I'll do it again in my life, but not with this one.
Yeah.
You're a who's of most hated in Auburn history now, Aiden Holloway. You and your family are not ever welcome here again, according to most Auburn fans that I believe in. Once you step into Neville Arena, you're going to be stepping into Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leave, and it ain't going to be you as soft as you are, mama's boy.
Well, it's so crazy because, I mean, there
there it is.
Boom, how about that? Well, it when you look at this from a 30,000-foot view, you're looking at it, it's like, okay, you're talking about a sophomore in college, a 19, 20-year-old, that all he's doing is going and switching schools.
Fine. No.
From a high point.
You're right, Jacob, because there are people in the mainstream national media that are like, what a great recruiting win right here.
That's what I'm saying.
Snagging it. And I mean, they just don't know the backstory at all. It's complete fake
news. That's what I'm saying. Most people, your average Joes, don't understand why so many people are fired up about this, including a guy that I've respected in the college basketball landscape for a really long time. Somebody that maybe not was familiar with the Auburn Twitter space that exists on social media, but this guy figured it out really quick. His name is Seth Davis, and I really like Seth Davis. I do. I've liked his coverage for years. But boy, did he bring out some really upset Auburn folks on the X Twitter app, website, whatever you want to call it nowadays, because he retweeted it a couple of days ago on Saturday when this happened, and Seth Davis says, huge loss for Auburn compounded by his decision to play for Bama. He is well positioned for a classic sophomore breakout season. I don't know the details, but can safely assume Bama had a lot more NIL money to offer. That's what Seth Davis said. So, in this statement, he admits that he doesn't know all the details. He right. is claiming he's going to have a breakout sophomore year and is putting this on Alabama having more NIL money to offer Aiden Holloway.
You know, if they did offer more NIL money, I don't think it's just because overall their NIL in basketball is more healthy than Auburn's. It's just that Auburn knows Aiden Holloway and how he played this season and said, this is what we think you're worth. And Aiden Holloway is like, I think I'm worth more than that. And Alabama was probably willing to pay it so that they could at least take on a project who was a former five-star, in my opinion, a complete five-star bust. And they think they can get something out of it. But more importantly, they can embarrass Auburn while they're doing it. And for some reason, Nate Oates seems to want to have this nasty, bitter basketball rivalry against Auburn more than Auburn really cares to have against him. And watching Alabama fans run around and on social media and on radio shows claiming how this is just such a massive victory for them. And we stole one away from Auburn. And I'm like, you know, I guess we're it's not like, you know, I would have thought years ago it'd been like more like they'd been excited about stealing one away from North Carolina or Kansas.
Yeah. And this had nothing to do with NIL. Can we get that off the table right
if
now?
If Auburn was hurting in NIL in basketball,
it wasn't to him.
Yeah. If it was, like, the only reason was because they may have had to take some of Aiden Holloway's money and give it to Jani Broom to make sure that he stayed here. And which one, folks, would y'all have rather had stay here, Jani Broom or Aiden Soft Holloway?
Well, you can leave that open to question.
Soft. Excuse me.
Not ultra strong, ultra soft, huh? Oh, gosh. What is happening on this station?
Just having a good time, buddy.
Hey, nobody is more than we are. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us. We'll talk to him about this, see if we can get some information from him, talk a little football news as well, and updates on baseball, softball, and everything else going on around Auburn Athletics. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. And we get to the phone lines for a guest that joins us every single Monday at 3:30. His name is Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. My friend, great to hear from you once again. Spring rolling on through. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, as always. Excited to talk about, as you said, spring. It continues to spring, and we're moving right along right here at the Auburn Sports Network.
Well, we'll go ahead and start with the one that may be probably the least exciting just because of the downward spiral, I think is a good way to put it, of what's been happening with Auburn baseball. It's been a rough year, Hillman, and I don't have to tell you that, and our listeners know that as well. It's just, it hasn't been what we were expecting. This Auburn baseball team now, after the season, or after the series at Mississippi State, now 2-16 in conference play. They are officially below 500 overall on the season. They get swept by Kentucky a weekend ago, and then they back it up with getting swept again by Mississippi State, 8-1 on Friday, and a weird weekend with the weather, no game Saturday, two seven-inning-ish games on Sunday, 3-1 and 4-3 in 8 innings. What'd you see from the Tigers out in Stark Vegas?
Yeah, obviously, like you said, it was one of those things where you turn the page to the second half of the SEC schedule, and and you think the schedule gets easier, and not to say that Mississippi State is some cakewalk. They've been ranked this year, that they're a good ball club, and it was just a difference in facing four consecutive top four opponents and then a team that's teetering on top 25 caliber. So you thought to yourself, all right, if Auburn's going to turn this thing around, it needs to happen this weekend at Mississippi State, kind of like Auburn did last season at home against Mississippi State. When Bryson Ware went deep in that game, three, Cole Foster waltzed off, and unfortunately, you weren't able to do that this week. Obviously, Tuesday, you had a positive. You scored 12 runs on a Georgia Tech team that's right there in the ACC, and you think, all right, that's kind of the momentum you need going forward to build on. Sure enough, it didn't really result in anything this weekend, and it really hurts because, like I said, you thought that was the opportunity. That was the chance. Going forward, the schedule actually probably gets a little bit easier, considering you have Ole Miss and LSU on the horizon, who are lower in the standings than Mississippi State is and really aren't ranked or anything like that. So you thought, all right, if you can get a series in Starkville, then, all right, there's a chance to make a run here at the end. Last season, Auburn ended its SEC schedule on a 10-5 record. The second half of SEC play. If you're going to do that, you can only lose two more games the rest of the way. That's really tough to do in the SEC, no matter who you're playing, even if it is some of the worst in the SEC. And obviously, the worst in the SEC is still really good. We talked about that. So, it's one of those things where Auburn had its opportunities this weekend, especially in those two games on Sunday, but just couldn't really convert.
At this point in the season, Hillman, I mean, when we hear Butch Thompson talk all the time, and you guys always interviewing him over at the Auburn Sports Network, but, you know, we hear him all the time, just next game mentality, next pitch mentality, trying to work on the right things and do what you got to do to get better. But at this point in the season, man, I mean, this team is 2-16 in conference play, and postseason play is all but out the window. What is a message? I mean, how do you approach each and every day with a fresh mentality with Florida A&M coming up this week? It's the final midweek game at home for Auburn at Plainsman Park, with some other ones coming up at Georgia Tech in a couple of weeks, and then Samford playing them in Hoover at the Hoover Met. I mean, how do you get this team to continue to show up and play with a high intensity every day?
Yeah, I mean, I do think you have to continue with the next pitch, next game, because what do you gain from looking back at some of that from the past few weeks? There really isn't much. You have to look ahead. You have to really gather yourself and say, hey, we at least want to finish this year on a high note. And obviously, like you said, maybe NCAA tournament aspirations are not very possible, but you still have a chance to make the SEC tournament in Hoover. That's not an automatic qualifying type deal. You have to be in the top 12 of the SEC right now. Auburn's on the outside looking in, a few games back of the 13th spot, so you're going to have to gain several games. But the fortunate thing is some of those teams you have to leap, Missouri, Ole Miss, LSU, you play those three teams over the next three weekends. So I think that's the vision you have to look at, is that if you want to keep your season going after that Saturday game against Alabama, you have to win these next three weekends. And that starts this weekend in Baton Rouge.
Jacob, this is Uncle T-Bone. Aiden Holloway, I'm just going to go ahead and read this comment. At Auburn, I kind of got sold a dream by my coach. The season started out good for me individually and as a team, and then he kind of went in a different direction with the offense. I think that's an extremely unfair blame game that he's playing, taking shots at Coach Bruce Pearl and Auburn, who not only recruited him, supported his family while he was here. What kind of taste is that going to leave in Auburn officials' mouths moving forward regarding Aiden Holloway?
Yeah, we've obviously seen the reaction from the fan base, and I think it's a very valid reaction, and it is what it is. That's kind of the world we live in now with college athletics and the transfer portal, is that this is happening. I think a Michigan basketball player transferred to Ohio State recently, and that's kind of the thing. It's like you've got Michigan guys going to Ohio State, Auburn guys going to Alabama. I mean, this is kind of unprecedented. And obviously, we've seen that happen before. Corey Grant, a former Auburn football player, he was on that 2013 SEC championship team.
He transferred from Alabama to Auburn. You've got that now, Antonio Kite, quarterback from Alabama. He's transferred to Auburn. But obviously it's a little bit different when you see comments like that. And I like I said, I really don't think that the staff is really going to care too much about that because, hey, he's not on the team anymore. It is what it is. You got to play against him now. But you've got J.P. Pegues coming in. You've got I think they're going to try to get another guard in the portal or whatever it is, and go from there. It's really not one of those things that they're gonna look at a ton. Now, obviously, like I said, the fan base, the reaction is shown. And
Jacob, what about some of the players that he played with here? You know, yeah. Is that going to be a chip on their shoulder when they face off against Alabama?
Yeah, no, I think it could be. I mean, we saw this past year when Alan Flanagan returned with Ole Miss. That's a little bit different because Alan did graduate from Auburn.
He
went with his father to Ole Miss. And I think a lot of the booing and that was, some of it was in good natured. It was, hey, haha, hilarious. You know, he's on the other team, so we're going to make sure we focus in on that. Now, obviously, Aiden was here for a year. So, it'll be interesting. We'll see how things shape out and how his time in Tuscaloosa goes because, again, you're right. It is one of those things, you know, Auburn, I guess, like he said, went in a different direction. But, I mean, that direction led to an SEC tournament championship. So I just look at it that way, and that's the positive I take away from it. And that's just what it is.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. On the football side of things in the transfer portal, there's been good news all over the place, but Hugh Freeze and this staff have beefed up that defensive line twice in the past couple of days. First with Philip Bleedy from Indiana, and then the news coming about an hour or so, about an hour and a half ago, for Auburn, Isaiah Rakes, the former A&M and USC defensive lineman, mostly at Texas A&M, but he has committed to play for Auburn as well. Two monstrous dudes, and whether they start or not, they're going to play significant snaps for Auburn at the defensive side.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, I think going into this whole weekend, you were not really just this weekend, but the past few weeks, you've been thinking about that defensive line and how Auburn needs to, like you said, beef it up, and they did just that. And really, credit goes to Coach Vontrez King Williams. He has done a fantastic job in his new role as the defensive tackles coach, and he and Coach Aldrich are all hitting the transfer portal and the recruiting trails and doing absolute work. And, you know, it was interesting because I thought to myself, all right, this team just needs to get bodies on the defensive line. I thought that was an important thing. You didn't really need to go out and necessarily get these high quality, sought-after transfers, but that's exactly what they've done. I mean, both of these guys are going to get significant playing time and really do work for this Auburn team. And I'm really excited to see what Vontrell King-Williams and the rest of the staff on the defensive side can do with the defensive line, the front seven, and really beast it up and gets it ready to go for the beginning of the season.
You know, breaking news today also, Jacob, Wesley Steiner played 4 years at Auburn at linebacker, had over 85 tackles. He has entered the portal and is leaving. Do you think the Tigers are set at linebacker, or do you think they're going to go out and try and get another guy out of the portal?
Yeah, I do think it's a similar situation to the defensive line where you do want to get some more bodies back there and make sure you had depth. I think that is the most important thing that it comes to this team, especially on the defensive side. I think the offensive side has pretty good depth in all kinds of positions, but specifically the defensive side. Obviously, the defensive line looks a lot better now than it did just a few days ago. And now I think the linebacker position is where the focus will be. Coach Freeze tweeted that out, asked Coach Aldrich and Coach King-Williams if they're done yet, and I think that's a very good sign of what's to come in the coming days.
Yeah, they've already responded and said no, sir. So if that answers any, that should answer just about any question for Auburn fans on whether Auburn is truly done in the portal. And look, I don't think they are. I think Auburn's at a spot where they'll take just about anybody. If they're a good fit, if they're going to boost the roster, Auburn will take them, no doubt about it. Hillman, as we wrap up here, give us some updates on everything else going on around Auburn athletics. You've got softball in action, golf and tennis has been going on strong. So give us an update on everything else going on around Auburn athletics.
Yeah, we'll start off with softball. Unfortunately, lost the two games this week, Saturday and Sunday, trying to avoid a series sweep tonight at J&B Moore Field. That's at 6 o'clock Central.
Monday night softball.
Yeah, right. I know it's in prime time. You watch on the SEC Network. But, yeah, that Saturday game is weird. But I think there were three or four different delays. The game took obviously they didn't play this long, but I think it took like 6 or 7 hours to get through.
It was
a long day. And I think that led to some issues with warming back up and whatnot. But you got to bounce back tonight and beat Kentucky to avoid the series sweep. Men's golf gets its SEC championship underway on Wednesday at Seaside Golf Club in St. Simons Island Golf, Georgia. That is a star-studded cast that will be headed over to the coast of Georgia. And I'm excited to watch them and see what they have in store. And obviously Auburn baseball tomorrow at the 3 o'clock start time at Plainsman Park against Florida A&M. Andy Burks and Brad Law have the call at Wings 94.3. So if you want to play hooky from work or school, go head on out to Plainsman Park and maybe enjoy some $2 Conecuh hot dogs.
Oh, you heard it. Jacob Hillman will write you a school note if you need one, or an email to the boss. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network will get you out of it for some Auburn baseball tomorrow. And, of course, if you can't make it there in person, you can always listen here locally on Wings 94.3. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every single Monday here on the show, man. I appreciate you and your time as always. Tell the folks where they can find you and everything they need to know from the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU and follow the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. Andy Burksham always putting out great content with the head coaches from these respective sports to get you ready for their action. Nick Weiner, he was on the Talking Tigers podcast last Monday, and he's getting ready for the men's golf postseason swing.
Awesome, man. Hey, appreciate your time. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, talk to you then. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, he's with us every Monday at 3:30 here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the show when we come back after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Man, we appreciate you all being with us. Whether it's been one segment, 1 hour, both hours, all show, doesn't matter. We appreciate you being with us each and every day. Those of you that are our everydayers come back each and every day. Truly make this your go-to spot, 2 to 4, each and every day. So we appreciate you doing that. It's been a really fun show, man. Mondays are wild around here because there's so much to react to from over the weekend, and that's been what today's about. Let me tell you what, we've talked about Aiden Holloway, we've talked about Auburn football with some big-time transfer news. We brought back an old segment, Best and Worst, from the weekend. We'll probably start doing that each Monday now that we're getting into the spring and summer months because, hey, NBA, NHL playoffs are on. I know not many people watch that around here, but you should. I'm just telling you.
Been watching a lot of the NBA playoffs.
You should. It got started this weekend. So did the NHL. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, my youngest is a big NBA guy, big NBA fan. And, of course, I watch it with him. And we've been getting into it, man. The Bucks rolled last night. They look pretty good. Celtics, though.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, that's right.
They are tough.
That's right.
They are tough and $2.
And the
state.
Bruins. Bruins in the hockey world, they got it done, too. So, look, all I'm saying is if you're looking for a time to watch something else other than baseball right now, watch the NBA and NHL playoffs. Or you can listen to the NBA playoffs right here on ESPN 106.7.
Awesome.
We carry all sorts of games, all postseason.
Intern long. Allen, that's how you plug.
Hey, it's true. We carry so many games right here on the radio station. And so we'll continue to update you as we get all of those games. They're changing every day with the series and everything. But look, It's been a great show. If you missed any of it, you can go and catch up with the podcast, ESPNAU.com. That's our station website. Or you can search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We've got one more phone call. Let's get to them really, really quickly. It's John and Prattville. You're on the line. Got a couple of minutes, man. Wrap it up. Let's go.
All right. Good afternoon. I was just going to say it dawns on me that the Aiden Holloway going to Alabama feels like marrying your ex-brother's wife or your brother's ex-wife.
Your brother, marrying your brother's ex-wife.
Weird, creepy feeling to it, and all the family's uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's no rule against it. It just seems a little wrong.
Hey, John, when you got Nate Oates involved in anything, you know it's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's an unpleasant fellow. But did all of our guards leave in a dissatisfactory manner? Because none of them, as far as I know, wrote a letter or thanked the crowd or Pearl or anybody. They just gone.
Yeah, it's kind of what it seemed like. I mean, two of the three that left didn't really, you know, give us the finger or anything. But I think KD said a short tweet or something like "thank you" or "all love" or something like that.
I think
on
what
X
John's trying to say. The question is: were all three of the guards that left, were they processed?
Yeah, were they told to leave?
Probably.
I think there's some smoke to that fire there, John.
So, all right. Well, I appreciate it. You have a good afternoon.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. Good to hear from you. And, you know, yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. Let's just be real. I think that had a lot to do with it, especially with a guy like KD Johnson, who has been here, he's done that, sure. He's played his role here. I think it's kind of just
time to move it on along, brother.
Yeah, I think that ship had sailed, right? Aiden Holloway, it seemed to be that way, and it obviously was a two-way street there.
Does it matter to you? I think if it came out that he was straight out processed at Auburn and he went to Alabama, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think now what I have a problem with more than anything are his comments on the way out and how they've behaved.
Yeah, and then you look, I mentioned this earlier, Trey Donaldson.
Because if you cut the guy and you say, hey, man, go find a new home, he has all the right in the world to go across the street.
Yeah, which I think Auburn was going to play him. I just don't know if they were going to play him as much as he wanted to.
Or pay him as much as he wanted.
Which is very fair, too. And I think KD was probably, yes, processed.
That's how you
that a boy.
That's how you do it, Alan.
I love it. Alan's on it today. And I think with Trey Donaldson, I think that's a mixture. And I think Trey realized he could go start somewhere. Because I said it this year. Trey Donaldson's a starting point guard in college basketball.
If he starts at Michigan.
He will.
I'm not saying he needs to be the starter here. It just means he can play at Auburn.
He can.
And I think he can. And out of the three, I would say it's least likely he got shown the door process-wise or however you do it in today's athletic world and college athletics. But that's the one that I wish we hadn't let get away.
Yeah, that one hurts.
I really think the upside with him, and he could have been one of those all-time favorite Auburn guys by the time he graduated. I really believe that.
I think he was primed to make that real junior jump, if you will.
Yeah.
I think he was really ready to take that next step. And maybe NIL had a big part of it.
Could be. Now, I mean, it could have been one of those things where, you know, Michigan just had gobs of money. They needed a point guard. He was their guy. They reached out to his family or maybe his – I don't know how it works. Maybe the family just puts it out there and the feelers in the wind that we're looking for a new home and some money, and that's how people get married in college athletics today.
Well, after talking with coaches over the past couple of years, man, if somebody enters their name in the portal in big time sports, I've been told if you don't reach out to them in the first 12 hours,
you're out. And that was key to getting Kenyatta Watson and getting Will Redmond here at Auburn and getting a real infrastructure built that they didn't have time to build last year when they got here, in acquiring high-quality talent for football. And I think you're beginning to see that happening at Auburn, and that's why.
We appreciate you being with us here on the Monday edition of On the Line. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll have Lindsey Crosby in studio for hour number one, talking all things baseball. And then Double D, Daryl Dapprich, he'll have some things to say about all of this. You better believe it. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.